Awesome. Hey, we're going to come around the word. So let's welcome Pastor Andrew, our awesome pastor this morning, as he brings us around the word.
Hey, church, give the creative team a hand as they take a seat. Well done. Give yourself a high five if you can work that out. Cronulla Sharks. Who's a Cronulla Sharks? Who's actually a real Cronulla Sharks fan? Anne is a fan. Fantastic. Who was a Canberra fan? Yeah. Doesn't matter anymore. There's no prize for third. It's just all over. Who honestly just doesn't care? Who doesn't wow. Who doesn't watch football at all? Like, you just do not engage. Wow, we are quite a diverse church, aren't we? Yeah. I heard over in Japan they had the origami championships. Who's excited? You guys need to get a life. Just to get out a bit more. Man. Wow. London, there was the knitting championships. Dave Luxon told me that. He follows it closely. Most Manly supporters do. Good to have you here. We're going to continue with the armor of God. We're up to Ephesians. And I think I said last time, but you know, the armor of God is something that is very powerful. And I know there's some gentlemen. I know Brian is a guy in our church that swears by putting the armor of God on every day. Is that correct, Brian? No. It's not like he whips into a closet and has all this armor and then wanders around with a cape and armor. That's not him. That's Richard. No, I'm only just joking. It's only on weekends, isn't it, Rich? Yeah. 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 It's so powerful because when you understand what you're actually putting on every day, when you actually understand the elements of the armor of God, you actually understand what you're actually protecting yourself from and what God's given you to protect yourself with. Amen? So last week we had a ministry service. The week before that, we talked about the belt of truth. And one take-home thought from that one is that we tuck all your thinking, you need to tuck it into the truth of God. Amen? Every day, that's why we read the Word, because you don't know how much your thoughts and your feelings stray from the truth. It doesn't take long. All it takes is a little bit of Oprah, a little bit of Facebook, a little bit of talkback radio on the way to work, a little bit of something, and your mind strays and you get caught up with other ways and other means and other feelings that aren't based on truth. Amen? So the truth of God brings us back. And actually, the Word of God, the truth of God, divides between which is of God and which is not. Amen? It's quite amazing how many people get blurred with that, that actually don't know what is godly. So now we're up to the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we're going to quickly just look at a Roman soldier. A Roman soldier had a large breastplate that was attached right smack in the middle, and it had normally it had a back area as well, and it had leather straps on the side, and it was attached to the belt of truth. Well, the truth, the belt, and then you had a tunic that came down and covered the belt of truth. Actually had bits of leather with metal on it that came all the way down to about here, and then they showed off their legs. That's what the Romans did. and it was kind of a warm climate, and that's what they did. So the breastplate was something very important. And obviously, if you've followed any sort of understanding of armor, you've got to realize that the breastplate covered the main area that it covered. It covered quite a few important organs, just quietly, but the number one organ it covered was the heart. True? Most other places, if someone threw a fired an arrow at you and a sword was thrust at you, you could survive. But if you got an arrow straight to the heart or a sword straight through your heart, you would actually not last very long at all. You were pretty much dead on the spot. Amen? So that's why it was so important, and it was something that the soldiers would never go into battle without that covering. So that we see that this breastplate of righteousness is something that we put on ourselves. So we're going to look at it through Scripture. And really, to understand the breastplate of righteousness, you've got to understand what it's protecting. It's protecting our heart. True? So everyone in this place, we have a heart. We have a normal flesh-beating heart, but we also have a spiritual heart. The Bible talks quite clearly, right through the Word of God, that we have a spiritual heart in it. Whenever the Bible talks about our heart, it talks about our place of relationship with God. Whenever you see it and whenever you hear from Psalms, when you hear David lamenting and talking about the heart, it's talking about this place of relationship. It's the center of your spiritual life. We talked about the truth, which is what affects your mind, but your heart is your relationship. It's important. And it's vital to us as Christians that we protect this part of who we are. And if you look through the Word of God and you track through the Word of God, the Word of God talks quite a bit about the condition of our heart. Amen? Every one of us in this room, one of the greatest aspects to us being Christians is our relationship with God. Is that right? Would you agree? You know, sadly, quite often you talk to people that call themselves a Christian, but when you dive down and you begin to converse with them, you realize that their Christianity is maybe based on a lot of other things, principles, education, their upbringing, their traditions, whether they were Greek or what have you. But quite often, it doesn't relate to a relationship, something that's real. And I would hope, you know, someone said to me, you know, what's the membership? How do you do your membership in your church? And I said, we don't have a membership. I said, look, the reality is I want to know that you come along here if you are growing in God and your relationship is expanding. It's a great idea to come here. Amen? Relationship is paramount to us as Christians. And we've got to realize in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it puts it very clearly. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Your heart is your motivation. It's your center of relationship. And out of that, it affects every aspect and every area of your life. A lot of people, if that relationship part of you is polluted, that means your Christianity and the way you see things is going to be corrupted and polluted, and it won't have that purity that God wants. A religious leader asked Jesus one day in Matthew 22, verse 36, he said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Amen? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So your heart is affected. It's a real part of you. It's not just a flesh part of you. But the most interesting thing, I remember hearing a speaker, an A.R. Bernard, many years ago, and he did this sermon on the heart. And he was talking about how they, doctors, you know, when they do a heart transplant, which is just a fleshly part of who we are, and they put another heart into another human being, how that human being would start to have, quite often when they dream, they would start to have images of the person's life whose heart they have received. Are you with me? and almost emotions, like their personalities would begin to change, or their personalities would start to reflect the heart donor that they got it from. And they, and even to a point where they would actually start to take on some of the tastes. Let's say they weren't weren't a sugar person, maybe they're a savory person. And suddenly when they had a heart transplant, they started to take on, they'd like to be like sugar. So they would look at, and suddenly they realize that the heart is a little bit more than what we think it is. Are you with me? And the Bible's been saying this for a very long time, saying that there's some sort of spiritual side to who we are, not just in the flesh, but, you know, obviously everything spiritual is related to the natural. And so that this heart side of your life is something that you need to protect. Our heart is our place of relationship. And to be honest, it's probably that your biggest area of protection. The truth in your mind is powerful, but your heart is your, if you lose that heartbeat for God, Revelations, it talks about losing your first love. And you know what? I've got to be honest, it's not that hard to do. Would you agree? It's not hard to track along in your Christianity and just get into a rut and actually leave relationship behind and just get into the doing and the lifestyle, but actually just leave the relationship side out of your relationship. Well, to maybe just ignore that relationship side. Our Christianity and the gospel of Jesus is all about our heart. You know, the Pharisees in Jesus' day, they had got it so warped. And Jesus reacted to them more than anyone else, simply because they had turned their whole spiritual lives into something that actually denied the heart. Are you hearing me? That the Pharisees, and I think the reason why Jesus hated and fought with them, and he called them brood of vipers, which is just another way of getting into their face and challenging them, is because they represented God, but yet they did not represent God. That Jesus walked this earth and he had a relationship with his Father, and they tried to turn everything that's Christian into something that's religious. And they were hypocrites. Matthew 23 verse 27 says, this is Jesus, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." He didn't split. He wasn't very diplomatic, was he? And that was the religious order of the day. And he hated it. He hated that they dressed in righteous robes. They would have had the nicest robes and would have had, you know, the label on them that they were the Pharisees. They were the lawbreakers. They were the religious elite. And he would look straight through all of that. And what he was looking at is what God's always looked at, even when it came to David, that Jesus would look all the way through and see their place of relationship, their heart, and he'd see something dead. And that's what he was reacting to. And there's nothing worse than something representing Jesus and God that is completely false. You know what I mean? I think that's why Jesus was a friend of sinners. They weren't representing God. They were who he was going after. He probably didn't care about the Romans because they were representing worldliness. They were representing their emperor. It didn't matter. But what he was after were those people that stood up for generations saying, "We represent, we are God's priests." And he could see straight through them and into their heart. And all there was in the center of them was something black and dead and lifeless. And he had a whole bunch of people that were looking at that and going, "That is what God's into." And Jesus was just furious because they negated the relationship. Are you with me? I got to say, Jesus isn't any different now. How's that? He's not into it. He's not into you masquerading. And we might have swapped our policely robes for skinny jeans. True? Or a white suit? But the reality is that what God's looking more than anything into our lives is right into your place of relationship. And he's looking straight into it. And that's where his eyes and that's where his gaze is. Amen? Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does that mean? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The word pure means it has its root idea that it's being cleansed, free from impure mixtures, without blemish, spotless. Single-mindedness, that's the basic idea. Pure in heart is clarified values. Have pure motives. There's no hidden agendas, no double motives, no self-interest. That's what God's looking for. When God says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, he's looking for someone whose place of relationship is not filled with agenda. Are you with me? See, out of your heart, out of your place of relationship, you've got to understand this, out of your place of relationship comes your willingness to serve God and love God. Are you with me? Out of your place of relationship. Now, a lot of people, you'll track into Christianity and you come along and you get saved. And I got saved and I just wanted to serve because my heart was overwhelmed by God to begin with. Absolutely. And I just wanted to do something to get involved in church. But if you have become someone that serves and does things for God out of obligation because you're not in relationship with God, you might be a Christian, then you're kind of missing the whole point to everything. Are you with me? I've seen people who have served God for years, but they can get cynical because, you know, and I've seen people that have served God for most of their lives and they never get cynical. Because if you're in relationship with God, you understand what serving is. It doesn't become a problem. Are you with me? Because it's just like you're in love with God, so you're in love with what he's into. And if this is his house and the church is his bride, then it's your bride and you're part of that and you're engulfed in that and you're motivated by love and it's no big deal. But I see when someone's heart goes cold, everything becomes hard. Tithing becomes hard. Serving becomes hard. Coming to church becomes hard. Reading the Bible, are you with me? Everything just becomes hard, becomes something that you have to do versus something you want to do because your heart's gone cold. And the Apostle Paul is making us realize that this place, this heart, is everything for your Christianity. If you're losing motivation, I can tell you, you're losing love. It's a love issue. Are you with me? If there's no motivation in a marriage, what is it? Are you with me? Quite often, you see marriages, you know, and it's like, oh, everything's getting hard. She's asking for this, and he's asking for this, and I don't think I should, and I can't be bothered, and she does that, and I do this, and I do too much of this, and he does too much of that. You can bring it all down. It's like, are you guys still in love? Oh, I don't know. I feel like he uses me. I feel like I'm used too. And it comes down to it. There's not a love there. Are you with me? And quite often, can I break it all down? It comes back to communication. Are you with me? It's not different with God. If your Christianity is becoming about turning, we've got to get the kids together. They've got to go on Sunday. It's Sunday again. Oh, should we give it a miss this week? Oh, should we go? Oh, okay, all right, let's get there. I'm serving, I've got to do something, I've got to be there. And you get there, you get in the door and you sit down and yeah, okay. Whew. None of this makes sense without a love for God. My life doesn't make sense without a love for God. Honestly, you're just too mean and nasty to me. I'm joking. True? Why would we bother? Well, you just get up and mow the lawn on a Sunday morning. Well, there you go. That's your first prayer. I wish I didn't have a lawn to mow. And all the men said, Amen. The Apostle Paul's trying to tell us, you've got to protect this thing. You've got to protect this place of relationship. Don't ever let your Christianity slide into habits and rituals. And we've all done it. Come on, be honest. Who's let their Christianity slide into rituals and habits and just doing it? No one? Oh, okay. Everyone's, who's never done it? Oh, okay, good. We haven't got any perfect people. Dave Laxton. I knew there was going to be someone perfect in the place. And hey, yesterday, by the way, we had our business matters. And Dave presented that. And I've got to say, if you're a business person, you've got rocks in your head for not being there. There's two ways you can learn in life. You can learn by making your own mistakes. Or you can learn out of the wisdom of someone else who's tracked ahead of you, made mistakes and got it right. Are you with me? And you follow through with that and you allow it to create a slipstream, and it's a smart way to do things. And you know, and this guy's got a real heart for just really developing and helping people get ahead in business. So next one's in a few weeks' time. I encourage you to come along and be a part of it. It was amazing. The heart is our place of relationship. It affects our motives, our motivation, our love to serve God. Jesus says, Matthew 6:19, do not store up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where the thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Quite simple sometimes. Sometimes we just got to do a heart stock take. Is it into everything? Is it drifted into all the things of this that are consuming me? Is it to do with my career and everything else? And has my heart been polluted and drifted into that? It says the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great the darkness. No one can serve two masters, for you either will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. When's the last time you tried to walk in both directions, two separate directions at once? Kind of hard, right? If you can do that, there's something going on. It's impossible. But the reality is when it comes to our place of relationship, we've got to tend that heart. We've got to keep that heart right, and then we'll track the right way. But if we allow our heart to be engulfed with the things of this world, and wealth is only one thing, there's a lot more. And John chapter 2 verse 15 says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, but it's from the world. Is it right? And do you know what? It's a constant. We live in it. We're surrounded by it. And people talk that way. And it's so easy to find your heart captivated by those things. But we are not called to be captivated by that. We're called to be captivated by a relationship with God. Amen? We all know that sin is bad. We know that, don't we? But why is sin bad? Why? It just rips us off. You know, sometimes you think about it, sin is bad, but why? Why did God create a right and a wrong? Have you ever thought about that? Why can't you just hang it? Do what you want to do. Sin. Go for it. When you're a young person, you just have desires to sin. Is that right? Or is it just me? Are you guys all perfect again? Is that right? If you're a young man, you're fighting off your testosterone and you're doing everything else and you why don't you just let it rip and do what you want to do? Why? Why does God put a line? And I remember it's a line out of a movie, and it's a speech from the devil, and the devil says, "I'm a fan of man. Who creates all these desires and then says you can't? Who creates a beautiful tree with its temptation and makes it the most prominent in the garden and then says you can't touch it? Who does that?" He says, he's just dangling you over something and pulling you back. He said, it was like the speech from the devil. I can't remember what movie it was. It's very brilliant. And he just says, "I'm a fan of man," as the devil's going on. He said, "I'm your best advocate. I'm on your side. God's not on your side." He's going at it like that. Is this okay? Because you've actually got to get your head into realizing what sin is. Because if you think that sin is just God's way of being mean, then you're going to miss the whole point. If you think that sin is just God's way of just ripping you off, making you boring, then you're going to miss the plot. Because the reality is, the reason why he doesn't want you to sin is because sin is the absolute wrong direction for your life to have the blessing and all that God wants for you. Are you with me? It's the wrong direction. It's the opposite direction to where God wants you to be. He's created a life for you. The word sin means missing the mark, which means God's created. He's thought about your relationship. He's thought about every aspect of your life and said, this is the best way. This is going to bring such joy and long-lasting fulfillment. And he said, this is sin. And sin's going to take you off, and it's going to bring hurt and pain long-term. And he even admits in the Word of God that it's fun for a season, but it's going to cause damage. True? You've got to be convinced that what God has is your best interest at heart. The enemy's tempting you with sin because he just wants you to get caught up in something that's going to destroy your life. That's why he's with it. That's why he's going for it. But God stands here and he says, you know what? This sin that you allow into your life is going to take your life into a wrong direction. It's going to affect your motives. It's going to catch you up in things. And we all know if you get involved in sin, it does affect your relationship with God. Is that true? It's something that it quite technically, it takes your mind away. It gets you quite often caught up in condemnation. It gets you thinking. It gets you trapped into these wrong thoughts. It gets you off track. You see, God wants your life to experience the love and the grace and the blessing and the pleasure that he has for you. Amen? So how does righteousness protect our heart? Our heart is the center of who we are. It's the center of our relationship. It's the core of who we are. It's the area that gives us our motivation to serve him, to live for him. And why righteousness? Why is that such important part of who we are? Why is it protected by righteousness? Breastplate of righteousness. It affects how we love him. It protects us from being polluted because it's so powerful. See, your right standing with God, your relationship with God is protected not by yourself, but by Jesus. Are you with me? That's the truth in this, and that's the amazing part of this is that it's our relationship is not protected by what we do. It's protected by accepting what he's done for us. And every one of you, no matter what stage you're up to in sin and dealing with your heart and trying to get your motivations right, you can stand in a place and you can bring yourself back to a complete reset, which has got nothing to do with you. And you can stand there and say, God, I thank you for your forgiveness. I stand before you cleansed right now. I can have complete communication with you, and there's nothing in between, and there's nothing I have to physically do to bring that apart except accepting what you've done for me. Are you with me? How powerful is that? How amazing is that? I don't care whether you're sinning right now, you sinned last night or this morning. You can stand in righteousness whenever you want, and you get access to God. Are you with me? And out of that place, God gives us the power to walk. I love this. 1 Corinthians 15:34. It says, awake. Everyone say awake. Who's awake? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you awake? It says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. Does that sound like God's going at you? You know what he's actually saying? He's saying, awake to my free gift of right standing before God, which happened through Jesus. He says, awake to it. Every one of you that's feeling like you're distant from God, he says, awake to my righteousness. Not to your own. Wake up in the morning and say, Jesus, you know what? I'm dealing with this stuff. I'm dealing with this sin. I can't do it on my own. But I'm waking up today to realize that I can stand before God feeling pure because of what you did for me. Are you with me? It means every one of us in this room has hope. Every one of you in this room has no reason not to be in relationship with God. He says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. When you awake to right standing before God, it gives you the power to deal with sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to you. To your shame. He's saying, I'm speaking your shame. He said, realize the way to deal with sin is righteousness. That gives you the power. Romans 5 verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, everyone said, free gift, which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For it by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Summarized? Summarized? By one man's sin, Adam's, sin came into the world. And by one man's gift of life on the cross, right standing before God came into your life. Amen? You had nothing to do with Adam singing, true? And guess what? You had nothing to do with Jesus dying on the cross either. And you've got life. Once you get a revelation of where your righteousness comes from, it's powerful. It's powerful. Philippians 3:9, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Jesus, the righteousness from God based on faith in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, there's no reason for anyone in this room to not get their relationship with God back on track like this. True? All you got to do is say, God, I accept what you've done for me. And God, I just pray right now that you would just give me the strength to walk in this relationship with you. You know, David knew the power of his heart and protecting it. David did some horrific things. Honestly, really did. Honestly, he committed adultery. He committed murder. He did some horrific things. But he knew the power of getting his heart right before God. Are you with me? He knew how to accept the forgiveness of God. And he knew how to use that to reestablish his life and his relationship. And he would cry and lament and say, "Whoa, wicked me. I'm wicked, I'm full of wickedness, but how good are you, God?" And he allowed the righteousness of God to transform him. And God loved him and said that he is a man after my own heart. And he was an adulterer and a murderer. But yet he walked with that tag on his life. Amen? It's nothing to do with your sin. It's to do with you understanding how God can make you right and how you could walk in that rightness. David knew his strength. He knew when his flesh failed and he needed to get a hold of God, and all he did was bow his life to God, allow God to take him out of that sin and bring him into a place of repentance, doing the right thing. Your relationship, your Christianity is so built on your relationship, and it's so important. But you know what? It's not a hard thing to get right. It really isn't. I don't care what you're involved in, but you just need to stop your life and accept the righteousness of God and allow him to give you the power to walk in that repentance, to walk out of that sin and emerge. Amen? No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, when we stand to our feet, your heart is your motivation to want to serve him, be around God. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, Timothy 3:5, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know what? If you want to track in a real relationship with Jesus Christ, can I say something? You need to put on righteousness every day. Otherwise, Christianity is too hard. Are you with me? You want to stay connected to God in relationship? You need to remind yourself that the reason that you can talk to the Father is because of the righteousness that Jesus Christ has given you. Amen? And he'll give you the strength and he'll keep you in relationship. The enemy wants to get you out of relationship. He wants to get you disconnected. He wants to get you in condemnation. He wants to use sin in your life to drift you away from relationship and leave you somewhere where he can destroy your life. That's what he wants. But when you put that breastplate of righteousness, you say, "God, I stuffed up last night. But I stand here this morning and I'm putting on righteousness again. I'm putting it back on. I know that I can stand before you, God, and you accept me because of Jesus Christ. And God, I come against that area of my life and I'm standing with you, and give me strength, God, to deal with that sin that's trying to ensnare me, that temptation. And God, I pray that you give me strength, and God will give you strength to get over things in your life." Are you with me? The devil just wants you to leave that righteousness on the bedroom floor, and he wants you to come over here and try and do it all on your own. And you battle and you battle and you battle and you battle without his help, and he just likes it, and then he can get you a little bit more estranged from God, and then he thinks, and he starts to put things in your head and say, "You know what? You're just a filthy sinner. You're just, all you are is the sin that you commit, and God's not going to accept you, and don't bother praying because it's never going to get to God, because he just hears you and he thinks you're nothing and it's not worth it," and he gets you picked off and he gets you to the side and he gets you away because that's what he wants. But you, as a believer, what Paul says, you get up, you grab that breastplate of righteousness, you slam it on your body, and you say, I stand here. I stand here right before God, able to look straight into heaven, to the Holy of Holies, nothing to do with what I've done, but everything to do with what Jesus has done. And God, I'm sorry. Help me to get over this area of my life and you move on. Amen. It's powerful. It's real. And it's life-changing. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross to protect that relationship he wants with you. Are you with me? He wanted to protect that relationship, that intimacy. He wanted to protect it so bad, and he wants it so bad that he sent his son to die on a cross so he could protect it, so that you could always, always have the opportunity to talk to him. No man, says death, nor life, nor things created, nor things uncreated can stand between you and this love that God has for you because of the righteousness of Jesus. Amen? Why don't we say amen in this place? Amen. Just close your eyes for a moment.